Welcome once again to our weekly hangout for the Weird for Good blog. We're glad to have you with us. And today I am very excited to welcome our special guests. Michael Wright is back with us again. And Melissa Ford, on her birthday, is here to join us. Yay. And so happy birthday, Melissa.
Thank you.
And very glad to have you and Michael with us today. And I'm thankful that these videos are being watched out there and we're getting some good feedback. So I'm excited about another great discussion this week. Let's begin with just sort of the title of the writing from the Weird for Good blog. And actually, let me back up a little bit. Michael Wright's blog, if you'd like to check him out some more, is fatherofone.com. And Melissa Ford's website, where you can find out more information about her and her work on parent coaching, is empoweredparentingsolutions.com. So,
right.
Yeah, be checking out their information after you see what's going on with our discussion here. So, the writing for this week, In My Next Life, is the name of the blog this week, and sort of playing on the idea that we can easily fall into a trap of thinking called it's too late. And so instead of saying it's too late and I will never, I will never actually take steps to accomplish certain things that sort of itch at me or things that I'm interested in trying in life, I will just say in my next life, or I will say, you know, things like someday, or even as Melissa said a moment ago in our little intro, was the future me will handle this thing, and the future me will get to do these certain things. So, is it too late, guys? Michael and Melissa, is it too late right now for the things that are on my mind?
Michael?
Never too late. Never too late. If you think about it, your spouse, you're married, Aaron. You always remember the last thing that was said. So it doesn't matter if you've had 10 bad arguments. If you have one makeup session and that was the last session, that's what you're going to remember. So, you know, if you've only got 1 hour to live, then you know that's the hour they're going to remember. I think if you were to so in other words, leaving your life with some impact, it's never too late. I mean, you got to hold on to every day you got.
Yeah, that's a neat idea, Melissa.
Well, you know, I think that if you believe it's too late, it is, and then you get to live in a world where you've missed an opportunity or you've missed your life. And I sometimes can play that game myself. And so when I think that thought, then what ends up happening to me is I feel bad. I feel that I've missed possibilities and opportunities. I feel ineffective. I'm permanently stuck. And so when I find myself thinking that way and feeling that way, what I'll do is I'll just remind myself I'm making up excuses not to take action and not to really live my life. So I would just say, if you find yourself like that, thinking that thought, just know you can shift it if you want, and you can get back in and really start participating in your life instead of just being somebody who's riding the pine and watching it from the side.
That just, I'm sorry. I was thinking of your canvas analogy you've been using, Aaron. That if you say it's too late, then you've got your canvas is like this, you know. But if you've got one possibility, it's too late. But if you say it's never too late, then you've got this huge canvas. You got all these possibilities. So just by saying it is too late, that's your only out. It's a dead end street. But if you say it's not too late, it just opens everything up. You got all these possibilities for your life. So.
Yeah. So Michael, I think you're right on. It sort of feels like we've got these two. This fork in the road, it's never too late, or maybe I'm stuck in this idea that said that I'm believing this thought that it is too late. So if I can see it's never too late for you, Michael, if I turn that inward, you know, can I easily hand that advice out, and is it harder for me to live that advice out for myself in my goals or things that I would like to accomplish for myself? It's easier for me to see it for someone else than it is for me. And I think Melissa is kind of alluding to, you know, what are the shifts? And I love that word shift, because it means that, you know, we don't have to reinvent completely ourselves in a shift. We can just make a slight adjustment. So what does that look like as far as slight adjustments to get us unstuck from, it might be too late for me to have the financial life I want. It might be too late for me to have the relationship I want. It might be too late for me to have a relationship with my kids that I want. Things like that.
Well, I just want to say that I don't believe it's ever too late. I had an opportunity about a year ago, and I spoke to a group of parents, and these were parents of kids who were in middle school. And, you know, when you get up in front of a group, you have these intentions and these objectives that you want to create. And so you get up there and you talk. And I had a woman come up to me afterwards, and she said to me, you know, the reason I wanted to come up and talk to you is because you said something really important. And what you said was, it's never too late. Now, I don't even remember saying that. And that struck a chord with her. And she said, you know, I've been thinking it's too late. But then you said it's never too late, and you talked about what happened with you, and I realized maybe I can do something. So it's that was that, just in a moment, hearing it from somebody else and hearing a little story allowed her for that moment to consider something different. And I actually worked with this woman for about, I don't know, 6 sessions, coaching her around her real challenge with one of her sons. So she was able to change that and make some progress.
Wow, so she was in the thought it's too late, mm-hmm. but she saw a possibility through a talk you gave.
Right.
And then she took some action by asking you more about it, and then even went further into getting some professional guidance, and I guess used those sessions and showed up for those sessions and followed through with what you talked about in order to get unstuck from that place.
Right, right. But what I loved was that I don't even remember saying it when I was speaking.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that she just went, my gosh, I realized maybe it's not. So I think, you know, it's too late. It just shuts down hope. It shuts down, just like Michael was saying, possibilities. And you don't want to shut it down. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. Because then you take yourself out of living your life. And yeah, it's easier to see in other people, and it's harder to catch in yourself.
Yeah. So I think something that I can offer, or that we can all offer, is a little bit of our own story, and someone else out there will hear what they need to hear, just as you said with the story of this woman needed to hear that message whether you said it or not. You know, for me, I can just give one example of many in my life. It would be the fact that I am now married and in a marriage with the woman I love, Lindsay. And I had probably thought it was too late for me, you know, in life as far as my relationship, the way I'd handled relationships for the last 15 years or whatever was, you know, definitely not something pointing me towards a stable, solid marriage. And so just reckless and really not treating myself or the people that I was in relationship with very much respect. And so, you know, I probably thought it was too late to have what we now have. That's just one of many stories I could tell. I told Michael last week about the hole in my wall, which you can see back there just above the couch, if I could weatherman point to it. You know, a person who dealt with anger issues and a person who dealt with all kinds of things with alcohol and other stuff like that, that it wasn't too late for me to try to change some of those things. And, you know, I want to put a little proof along with this cool theory that we're throwing out there as well.
And I was just thinking, Aaron, you know, think about someone maybe who's been overweight their whole life. I was overweight as a kid, and it was terrible. Elementary school, junior high, it's terrible. I mean, you know. But it's amazing. You think, well, I'll just, you know, somebody might be in their 50s or 60s, and they've just always been overweight. And they think, well, there's no hope for me. I'll always be overweight, or I'll always have a bad relationship with my parents, or always. And it's amazing how little bit of time it takes to regain that hope. You think, okay, I've got all these years built up of this sameness. It only takes sometimes even just a week of eating right, drinking water, taking walks, and then you start feeling better, which is hope to me. You start seeing this other side and your life is expanding. You're like, I never knew this existed. So I was just thinking about that aspect of it, Aaron, that some people are kind of stuck in that, you know, the you know, the no hope. I think of it as hope and no hope, you know, that that you don't have to wait to your next life for your perfect body. You know, you can get it. Well, I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but you can definitely have a better body and a better life, you know what I'm saying? So that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And yeah. I think that's that hope is what we're talking about here today. And what seems too big, you know, what seems too big for us to try to take on. And that's why we want to say it's too late, is because it seems too massive. If I'm, you know, I'm myself usually, you know, 20 pounds overweight, and to get down to that level for me seems too big. But if I want to break it down and I want to say I can get a little closer, then that changes the context, that changes the rules of the game. And so what kind of things do we think are too big, and we say, you know, I can't really, it's just too late, I can't get there. I guess I just want to point out that this is a thing that we all deal with in all areas, and there are options out there.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, I was sitting here trying to think of the name of this woman. She's a poet, and her first published work was done when she was 70. She's 70 years old, and I don't really care for poetry, and I ran across this book, and I'm reading it, and I absolutely loved it. And I put some of it in a blog that I had written, later finding out this woman, you know, I think died about 82, but she didn't run from this. She didn't say, well, I can't do this. I'm 70 years old. And if I haven't written a book of poetry by now, what's the point? Why am I even doing this? And she went for it. And I remember when I found it out, I was in my 40s at the time, like early 40s, and I was so inspired by the fact that this woman did this. You know, it's kind of like the people who decide, you know, they're 50s or 60s and they're going to run a marathon, or parents who have relationships with children and either the parents cut it off or the kids cut it off, and they decide to, you know, reach out and reconnect with that child or with that parent. That's inspiring because it shows us time and time again, it is never too late. It just isn't.
Yeah, there's tons of stories out there like that, and when people started businesses or when people began, you know, a hobby that turned into something amazing like poetry or writing. So when we were kind of mentioning, you know, taking on a big task, the other part of the writing that I put out there this week was about, you know, goals and how goals sound to our personality, and how that concept feels very constrictive and tough and challenging and like work to us. I personally do not like the idea, the sort of old school idea of work, as in like You know, the type of work that you ask somebody, how was your day at work? Oh, it was terrible. You know, there was traffic on the way there, and I busted my rump all day long, and then I, you know, on the way home, you know, something else happened. Like this sort of old school concept of just hard work, not as much like a something that you're into and something that you're passionate about doing, but just this sort of gray, mundane, hard work. I think, you know, I've kind of steered my life away from that in the last couple of years. And that's what a goal sounds like a lot of times. Like, okay, if I want to lose some weight, or if I want to make some money, or if I want to do this, I've got to go down this gray, cloudy, hard work, painful, exhausting road, and then eventually you get there. Like, if you do enough of that, if you suffer enough, you'll eventually get the thing that it is that you want.
True.
Am I the only one who's had that thought?
No. I was listening to something today and said willpower will only get you so far. And to me, goals are like willpower. And I believe in goals, but I like your take on goals in that when you make it more of a game instead of a goal. And yeah, so I've had to remember that. I could use that today at work. You know, some of these things, it seems like it's just drudgery, and some things are happening, and like it's just, okay, this is just a game. It really is a game. It's the game of life, and you can play it. You can make it fun. You really can make it more fun and more interesting. Looking at problems as opportunities to overcome, or how can I overcome this, this thing that's happening at work, or things happening in your personal life, or how do you overcome or do your finances? Well, I can see that applying in so many different ways, Aaron. Looking at things as a game to be played, rather than a goal to be achieved.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that too. But I have to tell you, can I jump in here, Aaron?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I just want to say, when I read that part of your blog, my first thought was, God, I hate games. You know? And I never was somebody who was really competitive, and I didn't really like games, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But I do know, because when I'm going after something, I'm going after it really hard. After a while, I kind of slow down. I go, I'm exhausted. This was, you know, incredibly difficult. So I played with that idea of games for the last couple of days. And it was actually playing with my daughter, who now lives in New York City. And she was saying, I feel like I'm running out of time, because she's looking for a job. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm running out of time too, on the heels of my birthday here. So I said, let's play the game that we have all the time in the world. And let's test it out and see whether or not, A, we have fun, B, we keep moving ahead, and then what else happens? And I tested it, and I realized that I still kept moving towards my desires. I wasn't as exhausted, and I realized that it was a lot more fun. But it's a big, using the word shift, that's a big shift for me, because I've not approached my goals as games. I've approached them as, you know, I'm going to get this thing done. So I appreciate that you wrote about it, because it's not something I've ever really considered.
Well, you know, one of the things that I give myself liberty to do is use Marcus Aurelius's example, an ancient text he wrote called Meditations, which translates to Notes to Myself. And so this games versus goals section of this writing for me was notes to myself. This is just like Michael said, this is stuff I need to learn about too, because I'm with you, Melissa. The biggest things I've accomplished over the last couple years that I'm really proud of, you know, they were struggles and they were tough, hard-fought things. But in another way, the goals in my mind have just simply never happened. In real life, and I'm just being real honest about that. Goals that are these fanciful thought processes and visualizations and my vision boards and all that stuff have not come to fruition. Whereas things that were a challenge that were put before me that were, I would call a game that my coach has laid out. You know, I've got a couple real examples of that over the last year in which money, thousands of dollars, showed up because a coach made it a game, you know. And so in both cases, it was hard, it was exhausting, and it wasn't fun during the process, you know. But it was a game, and it wasn't something that was life or death. It was sort of a construction made between a couple people that said, okay, are you in or not? You know, here's what it looks like. Are you in? And you say yes, and then, you know, you got to make it happen. But the goals that I've set out to build a coaching practice, the goals that I've set out to set myself in certain financial positions, you know, a lot of those things just don't happen because I don't really have that structure of the game. It's like, you know, the sort of plateau that I really don't have a path to get to. But it's a plateau in my mind. Oh, yeah, I've got this goal set up here. And then I sort of sit around and think about it and hope I'll drift up there, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember reading what Steve Chandler wrote about process goals versus outcome goals? Right? And what I like about that is that he says, you know, there's this goal that you want. And then let's say the goal is that you want to lose 20 pounds. That's the goal. And then what you do is then you develop small steps, process steps that you take, and you completely forget the goal. And you just, in that moment, you go for these small little steps. And that when you accomplish these process goals, eventually you'll accomplish this goal. And I like that because that's kind of like a game too. It keeps you out of the future because that's half the pain, right? I still don't have this thing. I wish I had this thing. How long is this thing going to take me? It's taking so long. I don't have enough time. I'm running out of time. But it keeps you right in the moment, and you're doing those things that you need to do anyway in order to achieve something you want. So in a sense, that's like a game to me. It's you keep your head out of that future.
Well, yeah, what do you think? Yeah, you're right on. And the process goals, that's something I've worked with my coach as well on. And it is about saying, what are the small steps that any person would do who, you know, say we all want to have a book published, right? So you don't just show up with the book, and there's time, you know, we need to be in the mode of writing, and we need to set little times aside to be writing or to mm-hmm. think what we're writing about even. But yeah, it's like, can we give ourselves the gift of the small stuff and forget the big outcome thing? And it sort of, I'll kind of weave this back into our culture, and Michael and I have discussed this before, but when you walk up to someone in a social setting and they say, you know, how's it going? What are you up to? Are you busy? It sort of seems like we're supposed to have all these outcomes completed, right? We're supposed to have the certain, you know, house or career or whatever, all these things, and all checked off our list. But is it bold and is it weird for good that we could be in process towards some stuff and have a little faith in our lives and kind of let go of that outcome and say, you know what, I don't know where it's going to exactly lead, but I'm doing these things that inspire me and I've been told to inspire other people, or, you know, that I think will eventually lead there, and I'm on this different path. So that's what's going on with me.
I want to give another Steve Chandler. This guy's got some good stuff, huh? So we're keep talking about Steve Chandler. But I remember him saying in one of these CD packages I listened to over and over and over, he said, a goal is not what you achieve, it's what you become. So he was using this example of this guy who wanted to sell 20 cars in a month. He'd only sold like 5 or 6, and he ended up selling 17. Well, he missed his goal. I mean, I think he even sold like 13 or something like that. But he had never, ever, ever sold 13. But how he saw himself, who he became in the process, 13 is all right. I mean, when you've only been selling 4 or 5 and you sell 13 the next month, that's pretty good. And it's not, the 13 wasn't this magic number. It was who he came in the process, and that's what I think goals are good for. It puts you along a path of the journey, but if you just don't let the destination foul you up so much, you know, it's kind of like if you become a Christian, you know, and you think, well, heaven's the ultimate goal. In the meantime, I'll just hang out here and do nothing. I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, I don't think any human being is supposed, whatever your religion is, I don't think you're just supposed to just hang out until eternity gets here. So in your next life, as your post says, so you're not supposed to just chill waiting for eternal bliss to come upon you. It's definitely that journey along the way, and those little action steps you kind of forget about, you know. That's why I hate just sitting, you know, you have these weekends where there's raining outside and you think there's nothing to do and you're sitting and, you know, you want to be busy, but at the same time, it's good to be active, because action leads to more action. And when you have a goal, you're doing action towards something, but, you know, I think what you're saying is better not to just be fixated on that end goal, like once you achieve that thing, that you have become something. You become something along the way. Those little steps that Melissa's talking about, those process steps, I think.
Right.
Process goals, yeah.
Yeah. I like what you're saying, Michael, because I have to be really honest. I mean, I can get so caught up in the end goal. And I'm reflecting here, thinking to myself, well, the biggest problem is that I really am not aware of what's going on in my day, because I'm so focused on this end goal I'm headed for. And then the other thing is that once you get there, there's always another goal. So really, I like this idea that it's the process, but, you know, that's the fun, that's the game. And then the reward is who you're becoming. Because certainly, I've not reached all my goals, but who I've become along the way, and the people in my life, that's been the biggest reward, really has been. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I can get so hung up on that future thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've never read any of this guy's book, but Tim Ferriss, you know, the 4-hour mm-hmm. body, he's got 4-hour cook, I think it's called, and it looked interesting. I was going to pick up the book and never got around to it. And I was reading some reviews on Amazon, and I don't want to make a judgment call on this, on Tim Ferriss, because I don't know really much about him, but I know he seems to be.
Oh, let's judge him.
He's always like doing stuff, and he's always like learning as much as he can, as fast as he can. Is, you know, it seems like that kind of what I see when I see him being interviewed and stuff. And this reviewer on Amazon, he's like, you know, he knows a lot of stuff, but is he actually enjoying? I get the notion he's not enjoying life much. He's just trying to get more and more knowledge and figure out stuff and be smart, but this guy doesn't look like he's happy. And I was thinking, what's the point in achieving $1 million goal if along the way you've spent 20 years doing it and your life is crappy?
Yeah, right.
And
well,
I don't want to be that guy. So.
You know, I love that you bring that up, Michael, because I do have Tim's stuff here, and I think he's a neat guy that does show potential, you know, and kind of dissects things and measures things, and definitely is a lot more active than I am in those realms. But I think the thing that I will contrast that with is, you know, is it just as sad to stay in our same mediocre circles and paths and not stretching ourselves, you know, and doing the same things over and over? You know, it's both. It's like, that's sort of sad, and then it's sad to push so hard after something that you don't enjoy it, or that you're not really, you know, smelling the roses along the way. And so can we balance that out? And in the game scenario, it's sort of, to me, that does bring that together, as far as you've got the exertion, you got the exhaustion, but you've got the play aspect, you've got the teamwork in there, you've got, you know, some things you can keep some score by. But yet, you're not just killing yourself for an end, kind of a sort of 80s corporate goal thing, you know, that I can think of. Or at the same time, we're not just going to stay in our same circles and get kind of dusty and rusty and call that the ultimate happiness either.
Absolutely. I mean,
don't you like how long we waited to respond?
Yeah, I do. You can go to either extreme, you know. So, and one of the words I can't stand, and I hope at my funeral that no one can say this, that I was a mediocre person. You know, I don't want to just be a nice guy that was mediocre. Oh, at least say I was a bank robber or something. That would be better. If I was good at doing something bad, I'd rather be good at doing something bad than just being mediocre. I just, you know, I think that's that settling. I don't want to settle for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to go off on some other tangent here, Aaron. I just want to throw this out.
Good.
I just think it's kind of cool. So, I had somebody that I recently worked with, and they decided that they were going to kind of head towards mediocrity and kind of wait around and hang out. And I realized that I was much more invested in their development and their growth and their evolution than they were. And it was such a wild awareness to see that this person wasn't ready yet. And so I just want people to know that if they are shooting for mediocre or they found themselves saying these things that, you know, it's too late or whatever, that maybe you're not ready. Maybe you need to experience a little bit more of the discomfort. You know, I hate to say that, but a lot of times shifts in my life have been because my back's up against the wall versus I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to take it up another notch. And maybe that's just part of our development too. But it's an inside job. You've got to do it yourself. And no matter how many Google Hangouts you listen to or whatever, you've got to be the person who says, okay, I'm going to do something different. So I don't know. I just had to throw that out because I was thinking about this particular person. I was thinking it was just astounding for me to watch that they weren't ready to do anything. They were going to keep doing what they had been doing. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, and that's a very good point in a compassionate way to see, others when that maybe we're on different steps of the ladder. And actually, that was one of the notes I made that I wanted to cover, so thank you. And, you know, when I had said in the writing that just thinking about something isn't producing, you know, that's not 100% true because it begins with the thought, you know. And I used to smoke cigarettes for years and years, and, you know, I didn't just put them down one day. I first had to start thinking, maybe I'll quit, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday I'll quit. And so I think the transition from the someday to the actually quitting, which, you know, it's been, whatever, 3 years or something to go, but it's, you know, it does start with a thought, and it does start at different levels for everybody. And the thing for me is once you get a taste of these sort of games to play and mm-hmm. goals to reach, it becomes more fun, and you kind of want to, you know, keep going. And so it's, for me, a momentum thing that once I started, I kept wanting to go with it. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, cool. Well, you know, guys, I appreciate your time today. And again, Melissa, happy birthday. And I hope you have an enjoyable evening in Chicago. And
thank
so
you.
We've gotten close to our time here. And any parting thoughts or anything else you want to throw in here at the end?
Have a wonderful evening on your birthday.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Yeah, looking forward to it. Somebody
cool.
asked me how I was going to celebrate, and I said, with enthusiasm. So, there I go.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us, and we'll be back here next week. And thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. So,
all right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Good night.
Yep. Good night. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.